Welcome to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. This is your home for serious content amidst an unserious world. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. That is me, Brian O'Leary, and good to have you back. Good to be back. Not as consistent with these podcasts as I would like to be. A lot going on, but I want to mention you should go to, first of all, check out briandoleary.com, get our daily emails. We're there for you pretty much every day, along with these podcasts. But also, I would send you over to Natural Order Podcast, which is the website for another podcast that I do. If you don't know about it already, it's myself and my friend Adam Heyman. We recently released an episode on the vote by mail topic. And if you guys have no opinion on that, well, get ready to have an opinion, because we both come out strongly on what we think about the whole vote by mail thing that's going on. And, you know, these episodes we have are usually, you know, 20 minutes to 45 minutes on topics relating to current events, history, epistemology, stuff like that. So anyway, they're good episodes, and we like doing them. And, you know, my schedule over the summer was such that just became very hard to even get the Brian D. O'Leary Show out with any degree of consistency that I would like. And let alone the Natural Order Podcast, but we're back up and going. Matter of fact, we should have even another episode talk about current events. Should be out hopefully soon. And I was recording this on Thursday afternoon. That episode should be out sometime Friday. But I also wanted to mention that, you know, I did mention my friend Adam Heyman. And you can find him at Rerazer on Twitter, R-E-R-A-Z-E-R on Twitter. Adam is admittedly not active or terribly active over there on Twitter, but I'm encouraging him to get a little more active. Certainly not as active as I am, but anyway, check that out, his account over there, because I think, well, at least I got a message. I knew he was on the show, the Bob Murphy Show, which is also another phenomenal podcast to listen to, add to your queue. But Adam was a guest on Bob's show, and we'll have links to that in the show notes. And it's a great episode. They go on for about 2 hours, so a little bit longer, quite a bit longer than our Natural Order Podcast, but we have a series, and yeah, he's just a guest on Bob's show, but it was a really neat episode, and they talk about a lot of stuff that that even we don't really get into here on, well, on our show, Natural Order Podcast. But one thing that came up, and I just messaged Adam, I was like, hey, maybe I got this idea for a podcast based on something you said. I said, well, shoot. I just thought, well, I might as well talk about it here. And I know Adam can provide some insight later on if we get around to it, but I don't want to give away too much about the episode. So I encourage you to go and to the Bob Murphy Show, bobmurphyshow.com, episode 292, and listen to that. And you can also find it on YouTube. But again, like I said, we'll have it in the show notes. But they mentioned something offhandedly. I think it was Bob mentioned something offhandedly about Saturday Night Live from probably the 80s or 90s. One of the Jack Handy quotes. And if you guys ever watched Saturday Night Live, which I imagine most people did, if they were of my era, you know, in the late 80s, probably through the late 90s, I think, is more or less stopped for whatever reason. It's just not, didn't have the pull that it once did. I mean, you know, the early 90s is just a murderer's row of stars that came out of there, and they've had a few different eras, and it's been well written about it, well documented, probably in several books or articles over the course of time. I'm not the expert by any means. I'm just a fan. But anyway, he talked about Jack Handy. And Jack Handy was a writer on the show. And Jack Handy would have these little interludes of deep thoughts with Jack Handy. So they mentioned one of the deep thoughts with Jack Handy on the show, on Bob Murphy's show. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, how many people really care or would know about what happened on Saturday Night Live these days? I mean, yeah, you might have to watch it live in the West Coast. You know, you watch it tape delay 3 hours. But, you know, you stay up on Saturday night and watch it, or, you know, and over the course of the year, they reran all the episodes. And so you'd catch up on stuff. And then, you know, when Comedy Central came around in what, the late 80s, early 90s, they had reruns of a lot of these shows. So they condensed the hour and a half long shows into hour long shows. And so you'd get to know these shows a lot better. And I'm thinking, like, nowadays, the ability to watch that stuff is so much more available than it ever was. Just same thing goes with television, sports. And it got me thinking, it's like everybody of my peer group, my friend group, they knew who Jack Handy was. But Jack Handy was just a writer, like I said, just a writer on Saturday Night Live. I don't even know what Jack Handy looks like, but he was famous and he was on there forever. And, you know, he wrote for the skits and then he had the deep thoughts. I always thought that it was like a fake name, but no, he's a real guy and he was a writer on the show forever. And, you know, being a bit player, really, on the show, which was full of stars, everybody knew him. And I compared it, when I messaged Adam about it, I compared it to like the NBA basketball of the 80s and 90s, where everybody in the culture knew about Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, so on and so forth. Everybody, doesn't matter if you like sports or not, you knew who these guys were. And for the most part, people knew who the Saturday Night Live people were, for whatever reason. So the same thing kind of applies. And I'm wondering, like, why? I don't even know that maybe I do if somebody said a name, but I really don't know anybody on the cast of Saturday Night Live now. It's like, it's just not that important. But there's a decent possibility that way more people watch the show than they did when I was growing up. And I don't know. I'd be curious to see the ratings, but it's been on, you know, we're closing in on 50 years that it's been on, and it's still going, and it still obviously pulls enough ratings to still be on the air, where a lot of things get canceled. But it's like, I'm wondering why that is. And like I said, I told Adam, I said, maybe this is a thing to discover on a podcast, but I just wanted to get on the show today and, you know, kind of talk about this for other folks and maybe promote my other podcast a little bit, because that podcast, we kind of explore the depths of things a little more. And in this show, it's more me just talking about my thoughts and whatnot. But it also brought to mind, you know, we're in the midst of the baseball playoffs now that it's October. And it used to be the premier event of the fall for me. You know, at a certain point when I was a bit younger, maybe Halloween was. But the baseball season had ended by that point when I was a boy. So, but yeah, the Fall Classic is a World Series. And then the National League and American League Championship Series, I mean, it was appointment television. You watched it. And I could, you know, there's probably a good point in my life where I could name all four playoff teams from every year, and certainly the World Series champion and the opponent. maybe not the exact games who won however many games, but certainly the winners won four, or at least for the World Series. I can't do that now. With the expansion of the playoffs is one thing. And it just doesn't hold the value. You know, the World Series, yeah, a little bit still, but really over the last 3 years, certainly for me, you know, starting in 2020 where they had that 60-game series and then went into the playoffs and had a World Series where the Dodgers won. I've said it in the past, and it's just not a legitimate championship season. And from my perspective, you look in the record book and it is, which bothers me. But I guess that's not the point. The point is that why I love baseball. Why don't I know as much stuff about baseball as I did when I was a kid? I'm older. I can remember more things. There's a lot more to remember, you know, now what 40 some odd years hence since I first started watching baseball. But I knew way more about the guys from the past also than I do the guys today. Same thing goes with basketball. And same thing, well, pretty much goes with the NFL. NFL might be a bit of an outlier just because there was not nearly as much information available about that. Basketball, to some degree, too. I mean, you have to go back. You can only go back so far with basketball. But baseball was the American pastime and the national pastime. And it was just part of the deal. Like, everybody knows analogies. Somebody's talking about baseball. And nowadays, I don't know. There's technically, I think, more kids playing youth baseball than ever before. Just, I mean, that's a function of there being more children in the United States. But as a percentage, it's low. Not that I particularly care. I don't, I have kind of a love-hate with youth sports. And if, you know, kids don't want to play or parents don't want them to play, don't have them play. And, you know, that's just my personal bugaboo. But, you know, I think that if you want to get into baseball and you're really into baseball, you'd be well served to start your child out probably about age 9 in organized sports, organized baseball, as opposed to age 6. And then certainly like age 3 or whatever, when they start soccer and that stuff, it's just like, God, what a waste of time. Most of the kids, there's going to be like one kid that might enjoy it more than others and becomes good and so on. But in baseball, it's like, you know, you got to be able to catch the ball. They got to be able to swing the bat and at least try and hit the ball. Got to be able to throw it, all this stuff. And with kids at different levels of development, it's just, it becomes a way for parents and the kids to weed out that particular sport. And yeah, I didn't start playing organized basketball until fourth or fifth grade. Now kids are playing younger and younger organized basketball. We all played basketball from a very young age, you know, whether they had a shorter hoop or the normal size hoop, but we all played. And it's just like, I didn't have a team to be on just because, well, for a number of reasons, but eventually did. And then that was fun, you know, it was well worth it, but at a certain age. And, you know, I have friends to this day, they never played organized basketball. And they're, you know, at our age, might be some of the better basketball players around. It's just the way it is, the way they grow and the way they fall into sports at the same time. Same thing with soccer, like adult soccer. Yeah. There's guys that play adult soccer that never played in the youth level, but hey, they can play and, you know, they can have fun and whatever, and that's good. And that's the nice thing about adult sports. Baseball's a little harder to do that with just because of the various skill levels. If you don't have it from the beginning, they're really hard to develop, but be that as may. I played adult league baseball for a couple of years, and there were some guys didn't play high school baseball that were on the team, and they're good. But it's just one of those things. But getting back to the idea that sports, pro sports, college sports are just part of the culture. And they're, I mean, you could say again, baseball, people, when I complain about it to this day, like, oh yeah, baseball's ratings are way up. Yeah. More people watch it. There's more people. Of course, more people are going to watch it. There's just more people, but it's not part of the cultural dynamic as it was, say, well, most of my life and most of the previous generation or two. It was just not part of the deal. I've been watching a little bit of the playoffs, but you know, it's one of those things that the hype is a lot bigger, but the, you know, I've talked about it plenty of times on this podcast and written about it and been on other podcasts where it's just like, you know, the rule changes and stuff, they might be minor, they might be major. I'm not really sure. Jury's still out, but the game itself is not what it once was. And what they've done is the powers that be there, they've kind of forsaken the hardcore baseball fan for the average fan in pursuit of revenue and, you know, ticket sales and, merchandise sales and being part of the tribe and, you know, your home team or whatever. And you know, even now the ticket prices are way higher than they ever were. And I go back, I went to a college football game a couple weeks ago, the Oregon Stanford game, and the cheapest ticket at Stanford Stadium was $50. I bought one from a scalper for 40, I think 30 or 40. Perfectly fine. And because there's hardly anybody at the game. And, but it's still like that ticket should have cost me $5, you know, a few years ago, 10 maybe. And, or frankly, maybe free. Who knows? But, you know, the guy's trying to do his work and sell his tickets, what he's got. But so, anyhow, I was prepared to spend 50 anyway. Got it for 40. Found it as a win. But, you know, like, you know, just going to these games anymore. I was waiting in line to get through the security part at the gate for 20 minutes. There was probably 8 people ahead of me. And, you know, people are dealing with their bags and this, that, and the other. And it's like the whole atmosphere is, you know, once I was inside, I was fine. I liked, you know, being at a live football game and everything about that was great. But the whole leading up to it, it was just silly, and I didn't really like it. And I don't know. I've been talking about it with a couple people. I don't really know if I'm ever going to go to a live sporting event in the future that I have to pay for. And I don't expect my friends to pay for it either. It's got to be some other mode, you know, whether the Brian D. O'Leary show is live at... live at campus or whatever. I don't see that happening because why would you invite a person who doesn't think much of the way the state of your game is going? But be that as it may, the experience isn't what it once was. Plus, you know, I watch college football, and I'm not as big of a college football fan as I once was, but I can watch any game now that I want to watch pretty much on TV and flick to whatever channel's got it on, and I can just watch that game. And whereas even say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, for sure, you were guaranteed to have every game on television. Now pretty much every game is on television down to the lower levels of college. They're pretty much all on television. You can find them somehow, or even they're not on television, they're on streaming, which I consider kind of the same thing, but it's a minor distinction. So, you know, Wade, you know, I wasn't as a boy, I guess, in the fall, you know, I'd have my own football games or soccer games or whatever. So I wouldn't sit around and watch college football all weekend, but there were times and big games where you knew that you were going to watch and you remember the big games and all that stuff. And they're kind of an indelible mark in the memory of, you know, some of these games that you're watching on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Friday afternoon for the Boston College Miami game, which I do remember. I was a very young boy. But, you know, I think about that and I'm like, yeah, I can watch any of these games, but I don't really watch a ton of them. I watch parts of a few games every weekend. And if I don't, I don't really worry about it. And a few years ago, maybe I would have like, oh, I would have really loved to see that game. But like now, yeah, I got several children and like to spend time with them and like to go do other things. And, you know, if I go to one game, that means I can't really watch a whole lot of the other ones. But, you know, it's just one of these things, and I hate to be a downer about it, but I think the way things have been going with sports, and I'm just trying to figure this out for myself. And like, you know, I started out, as most people know, started out doing sports podcasts, Sportlanders, the podcast, which you can find in the archives. And it was a great show, probably a better show than I do now. And we got to talk sports, and I was hopeful at that time, hopeful that sports as we knew them were going to return to what they once were. And, I don't know. I don't know that that's ever really going to happen. I mean, certainly the athletes, by and large, are better today than they ever have been. The games themselves, not as interesting. The coaches, there's more of them. Not necessarily any brighter, but just as a percentage, there's a lot more good coaches. Or not as a percentage, as a sheer number. As a percentage, I don't think so. But coaching has become a huge profession, particularly in at the higher level of as a head coach in college, and certainly in the pros. And you know, I was a coach for years, and I don't know that I necessarily wanted to make it into a profession because I like teaching the game, and there's something to that. And I see a lot of these coaches now. I was just reading a website yesterday talking about all the coaching changes in college baseball, and knowing who a lot of these guys are. It's like, it's unbelievable that some of these guys get jobs or move on or get promoted. Failing upwards is what I see. And it's just like the cream is not necessarily rising to the top in the gameplay, in the coaching, and, you know, certainly in the athletic ability, it has risen to the top, but the game doesn't mean necessarily the games or the play on the field is better. And getting back to the playoffs, the Major League Baseball playoffs, it's just a different game, than it was 2 years ago, different game than it was certainly 5 or 10 years ago. And it's just not as compelling to me, certainly as it applies to strategy and whatnot. You have a lot of the heavy analytics, which are fine. And I'm trying to get as much data and information as possible as a coach. Sometimes you're limited, certainly on the amateur level, you're limited on what you can do, but you use all that information to make good decisions. You don't depend on it. Now, the Dodgers, who got swept by the Diamondbacks, they're a heavy analytics team. Their front office essentially puts together the lineup, and I think that happens on certainly way more teams than the Dodgers, that their front office tells the manager, all right, we're putting so-and-so in the lineup, and the lineup's going to look this way. This gives the manager no agency. But I think on the other hand, if the manager's in the dugout, and the manager should be in control of the game from then out, and if you're not really skilled at managing a game, which takes a lot of know-how and practice and just intuition, in other words, your team's not going to necessarily do well when it counts. And I've probably talked about Dave Roberts, for manager of the Dodgers, who I really liked as a baseball player. He was okay, but he was really fast, which I like. and he had one of the most famous stolen bases, if not the most famous stolen base in Major League history. Now, as parenthetically, had that happened, had that situation happened in today's game, he would have had that stolen base easily, and it wouldn't have been dramatic at all, because he would have got an even better jump. And anyway, other end of the parentheses. But Roberts, as a manager, he's great, I think, with the guys in the dugout. People like him. He's a great guy with the players. It's what you need. You need part of that, but you also need to be able to manage a game. And I just don't think Roberts, he's just not good as far as that goes, because they win a bunch of games in the regular season they've won 100 games other than 2020, where they won the World Series. They only played 60 total, but they've won 100 games for most of the last several years, and have been either they've lost other than that 2020 year. They've lost some part in the playoff, and they were heavy favorites pretty much. I don't know about this year, but every other year, heavy favorites. So my point being is that I see that, and I look back to some of these old crafty managers that, you saw Dusty Baker win it last year. I wouldn't say he's old and crafty. He's old and he is crafty, but not a typical guy that I grew up watching. Earl Weaver comes to mind. But whatever. I mean, Tony La Russa, he used a lot of analytics, but and I don't really care for Tony La Russa all that much, but he was a great manager until he went to the White Sox last year. That he stuck it up. But guys like that, Bobby Cox, just savvy, baseball savvy, and you just don't see a ton of that anymore. Bruce Bochy, who's managing the Rangers, got them into the championship series this year. He might be the last with Dusty Baker. That's going to be a good matchup. Dusty and Bochy. I don't even know who has the horses there, but point being is it's a dying breed of the game of baseball. And perhaps that is why my point earlier is why it's not part of the cultural milieu or whatever you want to call it. It's just not mixed in to the culture anymore. People don't know really. They're like, oh yeah, I heard of Bruce Bochy. I already heard of Dusty Baker. I don't even know who the manager of so-and-so team is. Like, as an 8-year-old kid, I could tell you probably that every manager on every single team when I was 8. I can't do that anymore. I don't know that. And not to say that was better, but it was better. It was better when I knew more stuff about the things I liked and cared more about the things I liked. And I don't know. It's the culture is not as cohesive maybe as it once was. And maybe that's why we don't know everybody on Saturday Night Live. Maybe it's just not a good show anymore. I don't know. Maybe baseball just in general is just not a good sport anymore. College football just not as good anymore. But again, you have more actual people watching these things than ever before. So there's a rub there, and I don't really know how to figure it out. But like I said, tune in to Natural Order Podcast. Go to naturalorderpodcast.com and subscribe over there. Subscribe here at the Brian D. O'Leary Show if you haven't already. Appreciate that. And we might talk about this thing. And so I can flesh out my ideas a little more, and maybe I can get a little pushback on where I'm at there on the Natural Order Podcast. But anyhow, until we meet again, folks, this is Brian D. O'Leary. Go to briandoleary.com for more, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.